We want to wish our fathers a very happy Father's Day today, and our message this morning is directed to fathers. We're in Psalm 128. If you would turn there with me, please. I want to call your attention to a happy Father's Psalm, not a happy Father's Day Psalm, but a happy Father's Psalm. But before I do that, I want us dads to understand that we do take second place on this very special day. Only 72% of Americans plan to celebrate Father's Day. 81% celebrated Mother's Day. Did you know that? The average American spent $63 on mother. The average American only spends $42 on dad. A total of $10.4 billion was spent this past Mother's Day. They expect only about $8 billion to be spent on Father's Day. Dads, we just don't get a whole lot of respect. You know that, don't you? I'm whining a little bit this morning, but Father's Day just doesn't generate the kind of interest that Mother's Day does, and I have to say I think it's probably appropriate that it be that way. For men, we don't get into a lot of the holiday type stuff like some of the ladies do. We don't really go for all the extras. We live a very simple life. Keep us filled up and don't hide our remote, and we are very happy campers. Okay? Now, I want to draw your attention this morning to Psalm 128. Six verses. This particular psalm is in a series of psalms. There are 15 of them, known as the Songs of Degrees. These particular psalms were sung by families as they went to Jerusalem three times a year. These psalms were written by David. Maybe one or two may have been written by Hezekiah. We don't know for sure. But there are 15 of them, beginning at Psalm 120 through Psalm 134. 15 psalms that were sung by the fathers and by the children and by the families as they traveled from their different locations in Israel, working their way up to Jerusalem. And it was working their way up because Jerusalem was up on the high hills. Matter of fact, another name for this series, the Song of Degrees, is the Song of Ascents. As they traveled up to Jerusalem, they would sing certain psalms along the way, along the road, that related to some subject in the worship of God. And we are in Psalm 128 here, and this particular psalm is the Song of the Father. The Song of the Father. I want us to look at these six verses. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good out of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. Let us pray. Father in heaven, Lord, as we examine this psalm this morning and as we consider Father's Day, we would pray that You would work in the hearts and lives of our men, our women, and our children. Lord, we're not just preaching to men this morning. There's much that we can take to ourselves. There's much in this psalm that's written to wives and to children. And we pray, dear Father, that we might be able to make application to all those who are here today. We pray, Father, that the Lord Jesus Christ would be exalted and magnified. We ask, dear Father, for Your blessing and for Your understanding and for Your wisdom to be imparted to us this morning as we gather around Thy precious Word. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, as I said, this particular psalm was sung by the Father as He approached Jerusalem. Now, this particular psalm was one that was related to the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles, you recall, was the celebration of the deliverance of the children of Israel from the wilderness. They would gather outside of Jerusalem and they would construct little shelters. You might call them a tent today, but they were made out of sticks and out of limbs and branches, and they would assemble that, and the family would camp for 7 days outside of Jerusalem to remember what it was like back in the wilderness days and to thank God for His special hand of deliverance, whereby the fathers of Israel were continued, whereby more children would be born, whereby God could bless Israel. You know, that was one of the things that God did. He didn't wipe out the entire generation, did He? For He left all those that were 20 years old and younger. They became the new fathers. They became the new leaders in Israel. And so they celebrated the fact that God did not cut off Israel completely during the wilderness, but that He spared a generation that would go on and serve Him, who would honor Him. And this particular psalm was sung in reference to the coming up to Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles. Very important. Now, the men were supposed to come to Jerusalem three times a year, and most times they would bring their family, but they always brought their family to the Feast of Tabernacles. And you'll find that this psalm relates to all of the family, to the wife, to the children, to the father, to future generations of the family. They're mentioned here. Now, we studied this psalm back in January when I made application to our series in regard to restoring biblical childhood. But this particular psalm, as I began to study it further and its relationship to fathers especially, because it's written to him and for him as it reflects upon he and his family, about a father's happiness and how he brings this happiness to his home, and how that's carried about. You'll notice, please, that this psalm begins with the word blessed, and it appears four times in six verses. The word blessed here. It's the standard word that you find throughout the Old Testament, and it can be translated happy. Happy. Happy is everyone that feareth the Lord. As a matter of fact, this word blessed here appears in the plural. So we could say happy. Happy is the man that feareth the Lord, or is the one that feareth the Lord. And so we find here this happiness in this home relates to the father as he fears the Lord, as the mother fears the Lord, as the children come to fear the Lord. This home is considered to be what? It's happy. You know why there's so much unhappiness today in churches all across America? Now, it's always been unhappy in culture. You understand that. In this world is, if you were to put an epitaph over this world right now, you could put it unhappy. This world is so unhappy. It is so bitter. We've been watching the things taking place in Iran. Thousands of people in the streets. We've seen what's taken place around the world and the general unhappiness that's found. We want peace, but we cannot find it. Everywhere we look for peace, it escapes. Why? Because we've turned our back upon God. We've turned away from Him. But God tells us here that a father who fears God and a mother who fears God and children who come to fear God, what can be placed over that home is the word happy. Happy is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. And so I want to share with you men and all those that are here this morning, especially the men though, about paying attention to certain things. Paying attention. I grew up hearing that phrase a lot. Pay attention. I heard it at school. I heard it from my coaches on the baseball team. I heard it from mom and dad. I heard it from Dr. Hobbs. I heard it from just about everybody when I was growing up. I heard it from Mr. Woods when we were playing in band or we were doing that. Pay attention. Pay attention to that breath mark. Pay attention to that note when you come to it. Pay attention to this. Pay attention. When I grew up, there were only two words that I thought everybody did, and that was pay attention. Then I learned that some people were too poor to pay attention. They didn't have enough money to pay attention. You know, paying attention is so important. Why do most accidents take place? We heard about the tragic accident a few weeks ago over there across the bridge on Escambia Bay, about a tractor-trailer rig who ran up on the back of a pickup truck and there was an explosion and fire and so forth, but everybody was watching on the other lane going the opposite direction, and another accident took place, and more deaths resulted from that than the initial accident on the other side. And the law enforcement officer says it's because they were not paying attention. They were looking over at the flames coming from this horrible accident on the other side, on the other bridge, and they did not see the folks in front of them. And of course, there was a chain reaction, and people were killed as a result of that. Why? Because they were not paying attention. I think the Bible emphasizes this quite often. It says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Over and over again, God's calling us to pay attention. And so this morning, I want to talk to dads, and I want to talk to myself, because I'm a dad too, about the importance of paying attention. Number one, dads, we need to pay attention to our faith. We need to pay attention to our faith. I want you to notice these first two verses of Scripture. "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee." And then notice it says, "thy wife." So who is it referring to in verse 2? Say it out loud, please. Dad. Father. Husband. Dad. Pay attention to your faith. Now, the Lord says two things in verse 1. First of all, we are to fear Him. And secondly, we are to walk in His ways. Fear Him and walk in His ways. Now, Dad, if we're not paying attention in those two realms, we are setting a tone for our family. We are setting a tone for our family. Now, the father who pays attention to these two things will bring happiness into his home, into the home circle. Now, if we are lackadaisical, there's a good word. That's another word I heard growing up too. It's a word I like to use with my own kids from time to time. You're being lackadaisical. Dad, what does that mean? That's a big word. It means you're being lazy. All right? Lackadaisical. If dads are lackadaisical in your spiritual life, then you will notice in your own mate, and you will notice in your children, that they will be lackadaisical too. God puts the emphasis on the dad to bring into that home circle spirituality. He expects dad to do that. If the spiritual temperature of the home is cold, then we need to go look at dad. We need to go look at dad. Now, some may argue that point, but I think it's pretty clear in the Word of God. Pretty clear in the Word of God. You go through and study the New Testament. You study the writings of Paul in relationship to the home life. And you study the book of Ephesians especially. The father, the husband in the home is compared to Jesus Christ, who is the leader of the church. It says, "Dad, you're the leader of the home." And so we have a responsibility to always be checking our spiritual temperature, because the home temperature will be the same as ours. The home spiritual temperature will be the same as ours. That puts a tremendous burden on dads in the home, does it not? Now, I want us to think for just a moment. Without a doubt, the purpose of this psalm is to teach how important it is for dad to pay attention to his faith. As a matter of fact, this particular psalm is included in what they call the wisdom literature. The wisdom literature of the Psalms. Because of its emphasis upon what is wise and what dads are supposed to do and moms are supposed to do and what children are supposed to do. What happens today, though, is that fathers and mothers think that happiness and happiness for their children is based upon what we can give our children by way of education, what we can give our children by way of financial gifts or nice clothes or a nice home to live in or nice bedroom with all the special things. We think that somehow that's going to make our children successful. Can I share with you a story? In 1979, there was a celebrity who passed off the earthly scene at the age of 66. Her name was Barbara Hutton. Maybe you remember the celebrity Barbara Hutton. She was the granddaughter of F.W. Woolworth. You may recognize that name. He was the beginning of the Woolworth stores. They're no longer in business now. But back in the late 1800s and early 1900s, when you said the word Woolworth, You thought about stores in all the major cities. You thought about a place that had just about everything you could possibly want to have from the Woolworth stores. She was the granddaughter of Woolworth, and at the age of 12, her grandfather gave her $25 million. Now that was way back in the early, it's probably around 1920, so forth like that, when she was 12. She got a gift of $25 million, which was a fabulous fortune in those days. I mean, you were set for life. There was no need for you ever to work. And that gift was given so that she might be a success. That was the whole purpose of that. We want to set her up where she will be successful. Can I share with you her life? Her money never made her happy nor a success. She was married 7 times. She was married to a Laotian prince, a Lithuanian prince, a Russian prince, a Prussian count, and a Hollywood film star, among her other husbands that she had. She had many illnesses ranging from cataracts to kidney disease. She died of a sudden heart attack at age 66. The last years of her life found her a recluse, often bedridden. When they found her in her bed after her heart attack, she only weighed 80 pounds. The newspapers called her the poor little rich girl. Think about that. The poor little rich girl. 66. She was a recluse, and her $25 million never made her a success. May I say something to you, dads? Don't think that setting your kids up with a wonderful education and lots of money and all the things they could possibly ever want will make them be wonderful in life and be successful in life. Because that's not the foundation of happiness. That's not the foundation of success. It's not the foundation of anything. Because the love of money, the love of those things, is the root of all evil. And I want to tell you something, in Barbara Hutton's life, that root became a tree of disaster. All that money meant absolutely nothing. She became a celebrity. She became an actress. But what did she have? Did she enjoy any of it? Absolutely not. Utter destitute at the end of her life. Now, this particular psalm should encourage dads to pay attention to their faith. Notice verse 2. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Now, verse 2 is related to verse 1. You cannot pull verse 2 out and say, I'm going to memorize that verse. Boy, that's a wonderful verse. For thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Why is that possible? It's possible because of verse 1. What must be in place in order for verse 2 to be true? You know, it's interesting how people go through and cherry pick verses out of the Scripture. And then when things fall all to pieces, say, well, the Bible told me that I would eat of the labor of my hands and happy should I be and it would be well with me and everything's been horrible. But wait a minute, did you fear God? Have you walked in His ways? You see, that's the foundation of the happy home. Fearing God and walking in His ways. I like that expression. You can say obey His commandments, but when you say walk in His ways, it kind of changes the shift of your mind, does it not? To walk in His ways. We can understand that. You remember walking with your dad growing up? You remember walking with Grandpa, doing what Grandpa did? You know, kids learn so much from their parents and from their grandparents. What a wonderful thing for a child to grow up and have a home like that. That's patterned after the Scriptures in that regard. And for dads and granddads to have an impact in the lives of children and grandchildren. But to teach them what's important. And to teach them that, listen, son, or listen, grandson, the most important thing in your life is not for you to make money, but rather to fear God. I wonder how many of our churches that emphasis is taking place. We're so concerned about the economy. What are my children? So what are we doing? We're going out and trying to figure out financial plans for our kids. I want to tell you something that's much more important. It's teaching your children to fear God. That's not very exciting. That's so not about this moment. Teaching my children about fearing God. I want to set them up on good financial footing. I want them to have a great education. I want them to be able to go places. Those things are fine, but if they're not fearing God, they mean nothing. They mean nothing. For the beginning of wisdom is not being set up on a strong financial footing. It's not a great education. The Bible says the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. And I want to tell you, do you want your kids to be happy? Do you want them to enjoy? They need to fear God. That's what the Bible says here. It's that word for happy. You can't translate it any other way. Happy. Happiness. And happiness is missing in most homes today. And you know why? Because we've turned our back on the truths of God's Word. Dad, pay attention to your faith. When you pay attention to your faith, you'll communicate to your children what things are important. And fearing God is number one in the Christian home. What's the number one thing? The number one thing in our home is to fear God. And, as Ecclesiastes, keep His commandments, or as the psalmist says, walk in His ways. Isn't that interesting? These two things are often paired together throughout the Psalms. You go through Proverbs, you go through Ecclesiastes, you go into the wisdom literature of the New Testament, and what do you find? Fear God and keep His commandments. Fear God and walk in His ways. Those aren't just things that you say in catechism. These are things that ought to be a reality in our life. Dads, do we fear God like we ought to? Are we teaching and communicating that to our children? It's one of the primary roles of a dad, one of the primary roles of a granddad, and that is to teach the fear of God, and secondly, to walk in His ways. What does it mean to walk in His ways? It means that in the everyday decisions of life, dad goes to the book. He goes to his knees in prayer. You know what? Most people today, the first thing they do is go to the internet. I got a problem. I'm going to go to the internet. I want to find out a resolution to this. Now, you know, if it's trying to fix your lawnmower, go ahead. You know, go ahead and find something. It may help you fix your lawnmower, or fix your car, or maybe a computer system or something, how it's laid out. You can get the schematics off the internet. But when it comes to the spiritual vitality of your family, it's not going to be found on the internet. It's going to be found in the precious holy book that God has left for us. And so many times in the decisions of life, the book is the last thing we go to. After we make a big mess of things, then we say, you know what? I should have gone to the Bible. I should have gotten God's view of things. I should have gotten His understanding. Oh, how we need to purpose in our hearts, Dad, to pay attention. Let me read to you the translation of these verses from H.C. Leupold, who is a Hebrew scholar. Oh, how very happy is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. That which your hands have toiled for you shall surely eat of that. Happy are you, and it shall go well with you. In other words, your home life, your financial picture, the food you put on the table is based for the Christian, according to what? How I fear God and how I walk in His ways. God promises, I'll make sure you have food on the table for your family. That's what verse 2. You're going to be able to enjoy the fruits of your labors. What dad does not feel the pressure of making sure that his family is provided for? Been reading about all the terrible suicides over the past year here in the United States of America, where dad loses his job and he goes home and he goes and pulls his pistol out of his drawer and he goes and he kills his wife and his children and then takes his own life because he thinks his life has come to an end because he lost his job. He can't provide for his family and so he quits. For the Christian, that shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. If we fear God and walk in His ways, He says, "For thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee." We will enjoy. We will enjoy the fruits of our hands. God will take care of us if we fear Him and walk in His ways. We have to do first things first. How guilty we are of getting the cart before the horse. We're too busy worrying about all the peripherals and we're not taking care of the main thing. And society has become all about secondary things, has it not? We've thrown God out of the public schools. It's illegal to pray publicly. It's illegal to read the Word of God in the public schools. What's happened? We've become a nation of secondary things. And we've gotten away from the primary things. Dad, watch out. Pay attention. It's very easy, it is extremely easy, to slip off into secondary issues and forget the primary. Fear God and walk in His ways. And you will find, as you ignore those two things, it gets harder to take care of the other, for the Christian, that is. It gets harder to take care of the others because you're not taking care of your business. You've slipped off into secondary things, things that aren't as important. And so, Dad, we need to pay attention to our faith. How many God-fearing men over history can testify to the fact that they have enjoyed thousands of days of the Lord's provision for their family, food on the table, family taken care of, and it was because they feared God and walked in His ways? Aren't you thankful to this morning for godly parents, for a godly dad or a godly grandfather? Godly mother that walked in the ways of the Lord and passed that down to you, and we've enjoyed. I don't think there's anyone in this church service today that's going to go home to an empty cupboard, to an empty refrigerator, nothing to eat. God takes care of His own. He takes care of those who fear Him and walk in His ways. That's the testimony of the Scripture. Secondly, Dad, pay attention to your family. That's found in verses 3 and 4. Dad, pay attention to your family. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine. Now again, all of this is related back to what verse? Verse 1. Fearing God, walk in His ways. What will be the result? Not only will you have provision for your family and happiness and wellness for yourself, but verse 3 says, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Now, aside from the basic needs satisfied by daily bread provided by God to those who fear and walk in His ways, there is remarkable blessing here for wife and children. Dad, pay attention. The description of the wife of such a man is both beautiful and to the point. She is like a fruitful vine and a pleasant plant. Notice that. As a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. You know, it's not as important these days, but back in those days, to have fruits and vegetables and vines growing up around the house was important. It wasn't something that you grew just for fun, you know. You didn't have a vineyard because that was just a hobby that you had. You had a vineyard because that was food on the table. We've kind of lost that, have we not? In our big food worlds and Walmarts and so forth like that, we forget about that, But to have a vine growing up on the house that provided them with food, and to have an olive tree in the yard, or to have an olive grove, or to have fruits and vegetables and things, that was important because that was how they were going to eat. And the picture here is beautiful. The wife shall be as a fruitful vine. You know, women are the happiest when they're around children. They're the happiest when they're around children. I know that's true of my wife. I mean, she loves kids. She loves being around children. And I think that's pretty much true. What's happened, though, in our society, it's become this unnatural behavior toward children among women. They've got some other agenda going on, and that's because we've left this book. Wherever this book is prominent, women love children. When this book is moved away from in secular society, they kill their children. They do awful, terrible things to their children. You go back and look at all of the communist society and you see and hear about all the awful things that have happened to children and the unnatural behavior toward children. It's related to moving away from the testimony. The father who fears the Lord and walks in the ways has a fruitful wife. Now, in the Israelite economy, it was related to children. A family who had many children was a family that was blessed of God. A family that had lots of boys and girls in their family enjoyed the favor and blessing of God. You know, it's a sad thing today that Americans have moved away from having children. Do you understand, as the times progressed to the end of this age, that those who are Christians are having less and less children? And in the Islamic world, they're having more and more children. Just by sheer numbers, they're going to be able to grow and overpopulate areas that used to be. And this is true in Europe right now. Do you understand that the average number of children in Europe is 1.3 children? You didn't know you could have 1.3 children, did you? Imagine that. They're having one child, possibly two. In the Islamic home, the average home has six children. What's happening in America? America does a little bit better. We have 2.5 children. It used to be in America that it was around 5 to 6 children. That was way back at the turn of the century in 1900. It was common to have 5 or 6 children, but not anymore. Why? Because we've gotten away from this book. We've gotten away from this book, and now we're taking all kinds of chemicals and all kinds of things to stop the process. And as a result, happiness diminishes. The Bible talks about that children are an heritage of the Lord. I'm not going to preach a message on all that stuff, but I just want to say that. He says here, "Thy wife shall be a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children shall be like olive plants round about thy table." You can't have your children around the table if you only have one. Right? That's the picture. That's the picture that's given to us here. That's how God established the home. It was to produce children that would go on and serve Him. You don't have very many children. You don't have very many children. You can take their place along the side. You know why there's less servants on the mission field? We're to have less children. I mean, it's just do the math. Do the math, figure it out yourself. The picture in the Bible is always of multiple children gathered around the table. What a beautiful picture we have here. The children, tender shoots from around the olive tree. We talked about this in January, about how that olive trees have the old main portion of the tree, and then from that, a few feet out, grow up these shoots. And then beyond that, shoots go out and grow up, and then you have this circular pattern of trees that grow out from the main tree. And that's the picture of children. That they're to go out, they don't go too far from the tree. Now, what's the spiritual picture here? It's not talking about here that they all stay at home, you know, and then live there the rest of their lives, although that was a pattern back in the Old Testament times. But what it's saying there, if you teach the fear of God, if you walk in His ways, the children won't go too far from the tree. They'll want to follow in mom and dad's. I am so sick and tired of people complaining about, well, they're just following their parents' faith. Amen! If they follow their parents' faith. They just believe that because their mom and dad believe it. Well, wait a minute. Why did God give children to Christian parents? So those Christian parents would train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord so they'd have the same belief system. I believe in that. I think the Bible teaches it very clearly. But we've got into this open-minded idea and concept that we've swallowed from the universities and the colleges today that are teaching, oh, you reject your parents' faith and you go out. Dr. Bob Sr. warned about that. Whenever he started Bob Jones University in 1927, he said one of the reasons why is he was tired of seeing people send their children off. Now, this is in 1927. And see their children be sent off to the universities and colleges and have their faith stolen away from them. You got the same problem today. It hasn't changed. It's gotten worse. Their faith is stolen. Why? Why? It's stripping the mind of truth and making it open to receive anything. That's what de-education is all about. Stripping the mind of truth and filling it with every kind of conceivable idea, concept, opinion. That's what education is all about. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible is the communication of precept upon precept, line upon line, thus saith the Lord. That's the picture. Dad, you need to pay attention to your family. Pay attention to the spiritual welfare of your family. Your wife and your family are depending upon you to fear the Lord and to walk in His ways. Material wealth aside, the point is that in the case of the vine, we find fruitfulness, beauty, health, a clustering of the children around the father who fears God and walks in His ways. That's the picture that's given to us in the first four verses. The fear of God, the reverence and honor and remembrance and deference to His holy name and presence. Walking in His ways, following His word. And then finally, Dad, pay attention to your future generations. Pay attention to your future generations. Notice verses 5 and 6. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life into old age. Yes, verse 6, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. Again, all related back to verse 1. Fear the Lord and walk in His ways. What will be the case? You will have and enjoy the good of God all the way up through the end of your life, and you'll see your children's children. That's a view to the future. That's a view to the future. I want to just talk straight with you. A father has a responsibility to be forward-looking in his discipline, his teaching, his developing of his family with a desire of seeing another generation proceed onward with God's blessing in view. Is that not what we want as dads? Not only to see our children turn out right for God, but also see those grandbabies one day and see them go on and turn out and be something for God. That's what I mean by dad paying attention to future generations. This current generation is so short-sighted. It cannot see beyond 5 minutes. And you know I'm telling the truth on that. There is no view of consequences, no view of the future. It's only right now, because all they view is what is important to me in the moment. No view of what consequences might come because of my short-sightedness. And this is played out on a daily basis by the tragedy that we see in lives, homes that are wrecked, because it was all about the moment and it wasn't about looking ahead and following what God said in His Word. Pay attention to the future of your family. It's not just about you right now. Some dads administer discipline to their children because their children made them look bad in front of others. Think about that for just a moment. I have witnessed this, and I have been guilty of this myself. Disciplining them with love and desire for them to turn out right. Don't worry about how they made you look in other people's eyes. I have seen adoptive parents distance themselves from their adopted children when their children didn't do what they wanted them to do, as if to distance themselves from possible shame. How pitiful. How pitiful to do that. Why? Because they made them look bad. Can you imagine if heaven operated that way? Now think for just a moment. What if God the Father operated that way? Well, they made me look bad down on the earth. Does He work that way? No, He doesn't. He operates according to mercy and grace and long-suffering. We need to get that into our thinking. Quit grooming your reputation, dads, and start grooming your children and grandchildren. Well, I'm not going to, they're making me look bad. I'm not going to have any part with them. You know what you just did with that attitude? You just guaranteed that your children and your grandchildren will bring you shame. And that's the very thing in your thinking right now you're worried about. Stop. Pray for them. Get involved in their lives. Teach them the fear of God. Teach them to walk in the Lord's ways. And quit grooming your reputation Quit worrying about, oh, they're going to make me have shame upon my life. You know the way to guarantee shame is to have that attitude. You'll guarantee it. It will come if you're not involved in the future of your children and your grandchildren. As it says here, the Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. Thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. You want to see good things for your grandchildren? You want to see good things, parents, for your children? It's not going to be found with a wonderful IRA program. It's not going to be found because you were able to pay for them to go to the highest colleges and give them the greatest educations. It's going to be found in the simplicity of teaching the fear of God and walking in His ways. Isn't that simple? Well, it sounds simple, but it's not simple because so few people are doing it today. Oh, how we need to get back to the book. We need to get back to the book, dads. We need to pay attention to our faith. We need to pay attention to our family. And we need to pay attention to the future generations that are down the road. Pay attention in what way? By teaching them the fear of the Lord and to teach them to walk in His ways. Would you bow in prayer with me, please? Father in heaven, Lord, we've covered so much in such a little bit of time. We ask, dear Father, that the memory of this message would sink deep into the hearts and minds of our fathers and our grandfathers that are present today. Lord, the next generation depends upon the testimonies of what You've shared in Your Word this morning. And we as dads and granddads need to pay attention. Are we teaching the fear of the Lord to our grandchildren? Are we teaching the fear of the Lord to our children? Are we putting into them a desire to walk in the ways of the Lord? Or are we just simply making sure that the power bill's paid and that there's food on the table and that they've got clothes on their back and we get them off to a good school and we make sure that they've got a car and all those things that the world says is important, but really in the scheme of eternity are very, very little importance compared to the teaching of the fear of God, honor and respect and reverence for the holiness and the name of God. And then to teach them how to walk in Your ways. Lord, we can't teach our children to walk in the ways of God if we're not walking in the ways ourselves. Lord, You've said in Your Word that happiness, literally in the plural, happy, happy are those that are fearing God and walking in His ways. Oh, how we need happy homes in Grace Bible Church. We pray, dear Father, that we might follow Your Word and establish the right principles whereby the Lord is honored and uplifted in our homes. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.